Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Forest of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way, and I'm your host, Mary O'Malley, and we are gathered together again to explore the first key for a joy-filled life. You know, it's been a pretty challenging year with my health, but also it's been such a blessed time, because freedom comes when you realize that who you really are is that which can see what you are experiencing rather than being lost in what you are experiencing. And cancer is a fierce, fierce teacher of this truth. But most of us, most of the time, are lost in what we are experiencing, following thought wherever it goes, resisting unpleasant feelings and sensations, and trying to hold on to the so-called good stuff and push away the uncomfortable, which is a part of life. We all have to take on this conditioned self that talks in our head all day long. And if you step back and watch it, you'll see it struggles with life, and this struggling generates all sorts of stories, fear-based stories, shame stories, blame stories, victim stories, despairing stories, grasping stories, resisting stories, which then generate a host of uncomfortable feelings. Our mind also produces painful sensations in our body. If you doubt that, remember that knot in your stomach when you had to give a presentation or a massive headache after an argument with a loved one. But because you're listening to this, you are on the pathway to discovering how to see your mind, how to relate to it rather than from it. So rather than being lost in its content and all the sensations and feelings it breeds, which then oftentimes breed more thoughts of struggle, what a vicious circle, your attention is freed up to be fully present for life, for not taking all of your experiences personally, so they can just pass right on through you like clouds in the sky, so you can be fully available to this moment, which is your home. I love metaphors, and one of my favorites lately is the puzzle room before COVID turned our world upside down. The latest rage was puzzle rooms, or they're also called escape rooms. They are essentially a great, big, gigantic puzzle. You're locked in a room with a group of friends, and you attempt to find the clues in order to get out of the room. all sorts of challenges and obstacles are set in your path and may lead to secret rooms, passages, and more clues that could set you free. This is a great metaphor for life. We all live, identify with a kind of mind that is like a puzzle room. If you look closely, you will see it's a little problem factory. And you just get one problem solved and another one pops up. It's like an endless game of whack-a-mole. It is startling to see how much our minds are addicted to problems, mostly small ones like an itchy scalp or a doctor that is late or your dog has fleas. But we all come across really big ones on our journey through life, a difficult diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, being evicted, an automobile accident. I'm not saying that working with the big and small challenges of our life is unimportant. That's one of the core skills of our minds. But when we become exclusively problem solvers, getting caught in the chronic unease that comes from even the low-grade struggles we live in most all the time, we become cut off from an intimate, nourishing connection with life. With my cancer diagnosis, my mind really, really, truly does not like how my body feels a good deal of the time and what the cancer may bring in the future. But I'm getting a very powerful chance to relate to my mind rather than from it. It's fascinating to slow down enough and actually watch how much it is addicted to resisting what I'm experiencing. It also judges and reacts, it likes and dislikes, and loves to try to fix things. This is what I mean by relating to it, to see that, rather than being lost in it. And to also see that my struggling mind does not bring clarity and peace. So I ask you, has your mind ever brought you deep and lasting peace? Probably not, because it is your mind trying to fix the problems that your mind creates. If that isn't an endless puzzle and a puzzle room, I don't know what is. So, how do you get out of this puzzle room of your mind? The true keys, the hidden keys, are different than how we've been conditioned to be with the challenges of our life. What are those keys? The first step is recognizing that the healing you are ready for doesn't come from fixing or changing anything. Instead, it comes from the ability to see and be with what is. And I want to say this again because this is the essential key. And this is not how our mind operates, but this is how we're learning how to be with the puzzles of our life so we don't have to be caught in the puzzle room. The healing you are ready for doesn't come from fixing or changing anything. Instead, it comes from the ability to see and be with what is. Now, fixing, changing, understanding are necessary at times as we maneuver through life, but they will not bring you the freedom you long for. And the more you evolve, the more uninterested you become in fixing, changing, and understanding, and the more fascinated you become with showing up for what is. Because freedom comes from the learning the art of relating to your experience rather than from it. I'm so afraid to I see you fear. And then discovering how to bring whatever you are experiencing back home to your heart. That's another key. That all true and lasting healing happens in your heart. So it is important to become aware of how unaware you are. That's another important key. How much you think about life rather than being fully with it. The wonderful Zen teacher, Alan Watts, once said, no matter how many times the you say the word water, it will never be wet. Or even a better way to say it is that the idea of apple, even if you are thinking about a juicy, crisp apple, is not the full experience of an apple. To recognize how far away from life we are, in the beginning, it can be difficult to grasp. It's like you've learned a particular language since you were a baby, and suddenly life is teaching you a new language, one that when you learn it, will set you free from being aligned with your struggling mind. But learning a new language takes time, and it can be challenging. I have found during this challenging time three statements that come from this new language that help me a lot. They help me to focus. They bring me out of the struggling mind and show me how to work with it in a way that I discover over and over again the spaciousness that all these struggles are happening in. We explored these three statements in the last show called Freedom, but I want to go into them in more depth because, as far as I can see, these statements are the key to unlocking the puzzle room of our minds. In this show, we will explore the first statement, without changing anything, notice what is here. Now go back to that main key I just talked about. The healing you're ready for doesn't come from changing or fixing anything. Instead, it comes from the ability to see and be with what is. That's what this statement is about. Without changing anything, notice what is here. And in the next two shows, we will explore the second and third statements. Without changing anything, allow what is here to be here. And without changing anything, bring tenderness to what is here. So this first statement, without changing anything, notice what is here. This is what we're exploring today, is all about the magic of mindfulness. Mindfulness is a non-judgmental way of paying attention to the present moment, seeing the world as it is, both your inner world and your outer world, rather than your ideas about it. Oh my goodness, our mind creates filters that puts a veil over our living experience of life. And this statement helps immensely in moving from being lost in your mind to stepping back and being curious about what's happening. It invites you into a level of honesty with yourself that is breathtakingly powerful. This is all about acknowledging the truth of this moment so you can investigate it and stay open to whatever is happening. If you're honest with yourself, you rarely do this. You hardly ever really and truly touch, taste, and feel life. If you doubt that, just think of the last meal you had. How much of it did you taste? And you definitely hardly ever fully experience what you're experiencing without the filter of thought laid over the top of it. To get a sense of this, put a hand right in front of your eyes so that everything is masked. You can't see anything. You not only can't see your hand, but you can't see what's happening all around you. Now, lift your hand just a little bit away from your eyes, and you can see there's something in front of your eyes, but it's just a blur. Now, move your hand even further away from your face. And you can not only see it's a hand, but you can see life all around your hand. Now, lower your hand, and there is life. Our thoughts about life are the hand that is blocking our view. And without changing anything, notice what is here is inviting you into letting go of the filter of your thoughts, of dropping your hand, so to speak, for a moment here and a moment there, so you can actually experience what you are experiencing. And believe you me, just moments of being fully here are powerful. To get a deeper sense of what I'm talking about, let's do another little hand exercise. So lift one of your hands and have your pointy finger extended. Now, begin to move your hand up and down and all around in front of you, doing loop-de-loops and slides way up and way down. Really get into this. Follow it with your whole body as you watch your finger wherever it goes. Your finger represents the 65,000 thoughts you have a day. And for most people, wherever thought goes, your attention usually goes with it. If thought says you're sad, you think you're sad. If thought thinks you're mad, you think you're mad. Now, keep your finger going, but lift your attention from watching the finger and bring it fully to something that is in front of you. Maybe it's a plant, a lamp, a picture on the wall. Really see it. Now, bring your attention back to your finger and get lost in thought again as you watch your finger do its loop-de-loops. And then again, while the finger keeps on going, lift your attention out of the world of thought and bring it here, seeing what is in front of you, really seeing it. Now, this is what the statement, without changing anything, notice what is here, is all about. For a moment, it lifts your attention out of your constant stream of thought and brings it right here into life. And if you start playing with this, you will be astounded to see how much you think about life rather than being fully here for it. Don't judge this. Humanity has only been lost in thought for eons. But because you are listening to this, life is inviting you to discover how to use thought for the exquisite tool it is, but not be lost in it. Now, for the last step in this little exercise, keep your finger going, having your attention following it, following your thoughts wherever it goes. Now, then lift your attention out of thought as your finger keeps on moving and bring it here to life. Really see what's in front of you. Now, consciously bring your attention back to your finger and follow it just with your eyes, watching what the finger, what thought is doing. Be fascinated by it. So now your whole being is not following thought wherever it goes, just your eyes are. Your attention is. Now, bring your attention, let it fall into thought again and just have your whole body follow it, and then bring your attention back to something that is in front of you. You know, stabilize your attention and then bring just your eyes back to the finger and watch thought. Oh my God, this is just one of the most wonderful moments in awakening when you can really begin to see thought rather than being totally identified with it. You begin to become fascinated with what thought is doing. So this last part of this finger exercise represents your ability to actually watch what you are experiencing rather than being seduced and struggling with it. It's not just being able to see thought you know, oh, I see fear rather than I am afraid. It's be able to be with feelings. The moment before we were talking about the story, if you're, oh my God, this means that what happened 10 years ago is going to happen again, you know, and you are able to say, oh no, I don't need to follow that fear. But sometimes fear shows up mainly as a feeling. We're not even aware of the stories in our head. And believe you me, you can come to the place where you are just overtaken almost by a wave of primal fear of what's going to happen in the future, like sometimes happens for me around the cancer. And I can be with that feeling. I don't want you to try that right now. We're going to be talking more about that in the second show that explores the question, without changing anything, allow what is here to be here. So you can begin to relate to your thoughts, to your feelings, and even to sensations that are happening in your body. You know, I think I've mentioned before that I've had 3 back surgeries. I was in a head-on auto accident when I was younger. And so on those days where the exhaustion is so deep that I have to lay around in bed, then the nerve down my leg just lights up like a Christmas tree. And what my mind wants to do is resist this. It hates this, these sensations. And if I stay lost in my resistance to them, then my body tightens and the nerve screams even louder. So this nerve has been a real teacher for me, because even to give that pain down my leg the space to be here calms the pain down. But more of that in the next show. So it was an astoundingly joyful experience the first time for me, when fear was raging inside of me and I was able to see it and to say fear is here rather than I am afraid. And it was a wonderful time when and despair has shown up a number of times, you know, in this cancer, chemo, COVID journey that I'm on. And it's just so wonderful to have this wellspring of ancient despair arise up like a giant atomic, you know, like one of those clouds from an atomic bomb. And instead of it continuing to rise, it just dissipates, because I am fully there with it. So the key to this little exercise is to show, of course, you're going to get lost in thought. Of course, you're going to resist what you're experiencing. But every time you bring your attention back to life, right here, right now, you strengthen the muscle of your attention. You know, I've said this many times. I was a part-time meditator for 10, 11 years before I met Stephen Levine. And he said to me, if you sit for an hour and you bring your attention back to your focus one time in an hour, that is time well spent. And that's when my whole relationship with meditation changed. And I began to be able to just sit, not always, but sometimes my mind was really crazy, especially in the beginning. But those are some of my most powerful meditations, because here's the mind wandering everywhere, and my mind is saying, you're meditating, and you shouldn't let your mind wander everywhere. And then all of a sudden I wake up and go, oh, my mind is wandering everywhere, and my mind is judging itself. And then I give that space to be here, and it calms down. And even if that happened only one time in that hour, or however long I was meditating, I strengthened the muscle of my tension by bringing it back to without changing anything, notice what is here. And the more you do this, this will allow you, you'll strengthen the muscle of your attention, and you will be able to be with all the stuff. I oftentimes, when I talk to people, I sit on my bed and look out these French windows out into my magical secret garden, and I can have one big section of sky, and every time I talk to somebody, the sky is different. Sometimes there's not a cloud in the sky. Sometimes there's white puffy clouds. You know, sometimes there's all sorts of varieties of clouds. Sometimes the whole sky is just dark and gray. But the sun is always here. And it's so wonderful to be talking with people and just focusing, you know, listening to them, but also focusing, watching the clouds and recognize that no matter what this person is experiencing, the light of their true nature is here. And that's the gift of strengthening the muscle of your attention with this statement, without changing anything, notice what is here. So slowly and surely, that no matter what is happening in your life, you can contact the sunshine of your true nature. Now, this is the work of a lifetime. Again, Stephen Levine, when somebody asked him, how long does this take? He said, it's the work of a lifetime. But I say, God, it's the only game in town. And you are on that path because, you know, if you weren't this far into this show, you would have turned it off, you know. And so, but at the beginning, this can seem almost impossible because we've been so deeply conditioned to struggle with life. I was talking with somebody that had just bought a new business and really had no idea about how many challenges the new business would bring. And he's somebody that has been developing this art of relating to his mind, and he had a particularly difficult day where his stomach was in knots, at least in the morning. And then, without changing anything, notice what is here. And he began to just notice the knots and recognize that that means that his mind was struggling. It was just so powerful because the afternoon was pretty spacious. But when we talked next, he said, but I'm just astounded by how much my mind can take me over. But that's just more struggling mind. Remember, we're learning how to not fall into the contents of our mind. And that is just the world of struggle trying to grab your attention again. And when he got that, he started laughing because he's getting smarter than the puzzle room of his mind. But at the beginning, this can seem impossible, but it's just like, you know, let's say you've been a couch potato for the last year and a half because of COVID, and your friend wants you to run a half marathon, and you can hardly even walk around the block, but you finally decide, you know, then your mind says, oh, no, I can't do this, you know, but your friend says, no, just walk around the block with me, you know, and then walk around two blocks, and then slowly and surely you're walking a mile, you know, and then slowly and surely, you know, you're walking 2 miles, and then you start running. You know, this is a slow and steady process, and it's so important to know that we've been deeply conditioned to struggle with life. And because we have been lost in the realm of struggle for most of our lives, it's terrifying at the beginning to come out of the illusion of safety that thought gives you, so you can access the true safety that comes from being open and available to life. So in the beginning, it can be very helpful to do this with something that isn't quite fully intimate with life, like using sounds as your focus, as the place that you return to. Before, we were returning to our finger, moving all around. We were paying attention to the finger, and then we returned to what was in front of us. So let's play with this a bit to get a sense of really what the finger exercise was really all about. So I invite you to close your eyes And allow a couple of long, slow out-breaths. If you have listened to these shows at all, you'll see I love long, slow out-breaths. It's one of the most powerful ways to calm your mind and your body. And you could even add that great sound of letting go, as you lengthen your out-breath. And if you're in someplace public, you can just say it silently to yourself. Now, after you've calmed your mind and body a bit, lift your attention out of the world of thinking and bring it into the world of sounds. There are all sorts of sounds happening right now, around you and within you. There are loud sounds and soft sounds. There are sounds far away, like an airplane overhead, or sounds very close, like the gurgle in your stomach. And for the next minute, I invite you to pause this recording and count how many different sounds you can hear. Now, what did you notice when you were invited to be fascinated by the sounds of your life? Did you not even do the exercise? Did you struggle with it? Did you feel the joy of just being present? Did you judge yourself for how you're doing it? Or did you do a bit of a combination of all of the above? Whatever happened with this little exercise is exactly what needed to happen. But be not dismayed if you only heard sounds for a few moments and then your attention went back into your thoughts about life, like, oh, this is boring. Or, oh, am I doing this right? Or, oh, I really like the sound of that bird. I wonder what it is. The key to developing the muscle of your attention is to not judge yourself when your attention goes back into the familiar world of thought. You simply notice you are again thinking about life, and then you bring your attention back to your focus, which right now is the sounds of life. I really want you to get the sense of how you are strengthening the muscle of your attention. It is weak. It follows your thought wherever you go. Wherever thought goes. And to expect this would be different is like going to the gym and after you haven't ever, you know, worked with weights and picking up a 100-pound weight at the beginning. You'll hurt yourself. So we start with the 2- and 3-pound weights, like listening to the sounds. And if this intrigues you, give yourself the gift of a few minutes every day where you strengthen the muscle of your attention by closing your eyes and putting your attention on the sounds. And after a while, you don't necessarily have to count them anymore. That's just a way to keep your attention there. But you just can name them, you know, dog barking, car going by, furnace turning on. And then eventually you'll get to the place where you don't even need to name them. You just are there for the rising and falling away of the music of your own life. And you begin to be able to be present as a sound appears, and then it disappears, and you notice another one, and another one. and more you are standing at the very center of your life as it unfolds around you and within you. And even when you get that spacious, that present, and that spacious, your mind will take over at times. And don't judge this. Now just acknowledge, okay, thinking's there. And then bring it back to just being present for the sounds. This will not only strengthen the muscle of your attention, but oh my God, it will bring untold gifts into your life. Because true healing comes when we can listen. I know you're practicing listening with your ears, but this will develop the capacity to listen to whatever shows up into your life, whether it's fearful thoughts, pain in your body, a friend who is angry, or a wave of deep despair. It is possible. It is possible to be in front of somebody that is really angry and is angry at you and not take it personally. And not, your heart may flutter a bit and your stomach may contract a bit, but you don't close down around it. And you just bear witness to their anger. I know it seems impossible, but it is. It takes time. It's just like it takes time to learn how to strengthen the muscle of your legs and your lungs enough that you can run a marathon. And I am a true testament to this. It is the core, my core experience of life, especially in the first year of my life, was being trapped with no way out. And all alone. And at times, all of this stuff that's going on in my body, that's what arises from the depth. And I was thinking the other day, I don't think, what was just untenable, what was unbearable when we were young, we locked in concrete inside of us in order to survive. And yet it takes energy in order to keep these contained inside of us. And I don't think, I have met this no way out, trapped feeling with helpless, hopeless despair a number of times in my life. And have been with it for a few seconds and, maybe a minute at the most here and there, but never, ever, ever have been able to be with it as I am now because it keeps on coming because there are so many challenges in my life. But that's what I tried to do in the radio show called Treasure Hunting, and I think I'm going to turn this into a little book. It's like, I turn The Magical Forest of Aliveness is a little book that is about our journey, the journey of awakening. And this treasure hunting is the story of a young woman who heard that there was a treasure in the cave in the mountains, and so she goes and takes mountain climbing classes, and she goes to the gym, and she gets strong, and she buys all the latest equipment, and then she goes up, and sure enough, there's the cave full of diamonds and rubies and emeralds, and I think I had gold coins too. I can't remember right now. And so then she fills her backpack and goes down, and just for the next 20 years, she just buys everything that she think would bring her happiness, and she's eaten all the good food and gained weight, and she's more miserable than before. And then she hears a voice that says, "The treasure is still in the cave." And so again, she goes to the gym, and she goes and gets new equipment and does new classes, and she goes up there, and she can't find anything in the cave. And until, I'm not going to tell you, so you can go and listen to the previous shows. She finds the truth that it is in the greatest challenges of our lives that we discover the greatest gifts. And to be able to set this helpless, hopeless, despair, trapped, no way out place inside of me free, makes this whole journey with cancer worth it. So you can also, I think it's important to say, you can also use your breath as a focus. It's a primary focus, you know, in meditation. It really, breath really helps, you know, because you can just calm yourself so deeply. It's hard to deeply calm yourself through listening to sounds. You can use your breath to calm things, but your breath is always there. So no matter where you are, whether you're waiting for a doctor or you know, you're stuck on the freeway or whatever, your breath is always there as a sanctuary, as a focus. And if this intrigues you, I have done a number of shows on breath, which you can find under my previous shows on the Dream Vision Radio website. And you can also use your body as a focus by exploring a particular sensation, finding out that there's dozens of sensations that make up this particular sensation. And your body can help ground you throughout your day. When you notice you're getting tight, you can allow a couple of long, slow out-breaths, and then focus on just a sensation in your body, or maybe the overall agitation in your body. If working with your body in this way intrigues you, explore the section called Treasure Hunting with Sensations in my book, The Gift of Our Compulsions. And if you don't have that book and are not inclined to buy it, email Devra and she will send you the first chapter of that section. So whatever focus you choose, the more you gift yourself with just a few minutes every day to strengthen the muscle of your attention, the more you will be able to not only reconnect with this living moment of your life, with the newness of every single moment, but also become able to see and not take personally what takes you away, the thoughts, the feelings, and the sensations that you most easily fall into or run away from. It is so helpful to sit quietly for a few minutes every day. But for some people, that just doesn't work. You don't have to sit. You can do this while on your morning walk or while you're drinking your morning cup of tea, you know, and your focus is you know, fully experiencing, you know, the cup of tea, the warmth in the cup, the weight of the cup, the smell of the tea, the taste of the tea, the experience of the tea going down, you know, into your body. And you can do this while doing Qigong or Tai Chi or yoga. So you don't necessarily have to sit. But it is helpful to have time every day where you use this statement without changing anything. Notice what is here. It is helpful when you're having something that is calming. You know, it's harder to do this when you're in the middle of a contentious meeting at work, although you can get to be that aware even with that. So this is a process, and the best way I've ever described this is with the wind tunnel metaphor, and as if you've hung out with me much at all, you know I absolutely love metaphors. I think a metaphor, a picture is worth a thousand words. And so the metaphor is, imagine you live in a wind tunnel. I don't know if you have around in your cities, but you can go and rent time in a wind tunnel and you can actually fly. You know, and they show you how to, you know, and they hold you and then they let you go and you can fly in this wind. And sometimes, you know, you crash and burn and, you know, so imagine living in a wind tunnel with a 10,000-piece picture puzzle. And the picture puzzle is this puzzle room, the mind that thinks its way through life and is always struggling with life and is trying to do life and do life right. And it's all the feelings and sensations that it generates. And here you are, and every once in a while you just fly, oh, just right. And then a puzzle piece, you know, hits you in the eye, or the wind rips off all your clothes and all the people that are watching you fly from outside of the wind tunnel see you in all your nakedness, or all of a sudden the wind, they up the wind and it slams you against the side of the wind tunnel, or they stop the wind and you fall. We all have those experiences. We all have very painful experiences in life, and usually what we try to do is go back and just, you know, try to fly right. What we're doing is we're stepping out of the wind tunnel and looking back and going, oh my God, I live in a wind tunnel. And then you get sucked right back into it. And then through, without changing anything, and that is such a key to these statements, because our mind is all about fixing and changing. But without changing anything, notice what is here. You step out of the wind tunnel and you bring one or two or three of those pieces of the puzzle, and you put them on a table in front of you. And if you've ever done a 10,000-piece picture puzzle, which most of us have done, you know, it doesn't make sense in the beginning, you know. And, you know, so you start putting all the white pieces together and the blue pieces and the, you know, edges, you know, together, and then you get sucked right back into the wind tunnel. But then more and more quickly, you remember, oh, this is the wind tunnel of my mind, and you step out and you bring more pieces, and you put them, you know, on the table, and you can stay longer out of the wind tunnel, you know, and you start putting the edges together, and you start, the white pieces start, well, maybe that's, you know, clouds are really hard to put together. The red pieces start, you know, showing up as a flower, and the blue pieces start showing up as a bird, and then you get sucked back into the wind tunnel. You're just having a really spacious time in your life, and then your boss calls you in and says, you know, I have to let you go, you know, so sorry, we love you, but you know, COVID has caused us to cut back staffing dramatically, or something like that, you know, and then whoop, back in the wind tunnel you go. But more quickly you remember, you know, and you come out and you bring even more pieces, really integral pieces, because as we explored earlier, the challenges are the place where you can most clearly see the wind tunnel of your mind. I love metaphors. So another key piece of this is, after noticing what you're experiencing, naming can be very helpful. If you're feeling anxious, and for a moment you say, anxiousness is here, rather than I am anxious, feel, just pause for a moment and feel how empowering that is. Think of something that is really bugging you right now. Maybe it's maybe your stomach is on fire, you know, and you just say, oh, my stomach is hurting. Or, I see you hurting, stomach. Or that, oh my God, I know, oh my God, the Tums are no longer working. Oh my God, I got to go to my doctor. But oh my God, my doctor takes forever to get in to see the doctor. Just that moment of naming what you are experiencing is so powerful. If you're caught in regret from the past, and rather than tumbling headfirst into a story of regret, you say regret is here. You've gotten space around the world of regret. For a few moments, you have become who you truly are. The awareness that can see what is happening rather than the contents of what is happening. And if you have a toothache and you're lost in resisting it and fearing it, but for a few moments you bring your attention there and begin to describe the pain to yourself. It's sharp, or it's throbbing, or it's achy. For those few moments, you're not being pulled into the world of struggle. In fact, you are bearing witness to it. There is a catchy phrase created by Dan Siegel, name it to tame it. Research has shown that just verbal labeling of what you are experiencing, naming it, can help you have space around it. UCLA's Matthew Lieberman's MRI brain scan research shows that this labeling of feelings appears to decrease activity in the brain's emotional centers, including the amygdala. Isn't that amazing? You know, and you know, it's not just feelings, it's thoughts, it's sensations in your body. I don't know what I would have done without this ability to name and relate to and explore the pain in my back and in my leg. You know, I do have a little difficulty with Dan Siegel's name it to tame it, the tame it part, because this isn't so much about taming our mind. That's a little bit like trying to herd cats. But it's about getting space around it so you can be with it rather than sucked into its vortex. And that all that struggle can calm down. Still, the phrase is catchy, and it does remind us to be curious. So noticing and naming what is here is not a quick fix, as far as I can see. But it is one of the most powerful doorways out of the puzzle rooms of our mind. It does take time to cultivate the muscle of your attention, but, oh, God, it's so worth it. So the invitation is to use, without changing anything, notice what is here. To actually experience what we're experiencing. And then be alert to whatever is most predominant in your experience. Don't, you know, spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. If you do, then just notice your mind is struggling. But, you know, there's something that's predominant. Maybe the sounds of construction, which I've had the absolute delight during this challenging time to have houses being built in front of me and behind me. You know? And again, it's either happening to me or it's happening for me. But it has been so wonderful to watch this evolution. I'm very, very sensitive to sound, so I am an earplug aficionado. And of course, earplugs don't work with these nail guns. The nail guns that sound like machine guns. Oh my God, you know, and or the this engine in the truck that comes to put the insulation, you know, in the walls, and they go on all day long, you know, on and on. And your earplugs doesn't help that. And so that ability to, without changing anything, notice what I'm experiencing and notice that the main thing are the sounds and then it's my resistance to the sounds. And I have come to the place that I meditate in a room that is right next to one of the houses that is being built. And every once in a while, all the time, I get up very, very early in the morning. I'm woken up by life. But every once in a while, you know, I won't sleep much that night, and I'll sleep in. And I'll go meditate, and there will be hammering. But, oh, my God, after all these months, the, you know, hammering is just a part of my meditation. Notice what is here. Allow what is here to be here. That is just magical. But when you bring your attention to what you are experiencing, it will be evident, whether it's sounds or whether it is the feeling of sadness of a beloved pet has died, or it could be a feeling of anxiousness in your chest, or it could be a story of what's going to happen in the future. Again, if it takes more than a split second to notice, just notice that your mind is trying to figure everything out. So, whatever it is, simply be curious. Not the kind of curiosity of trying to figure something out, but the kind of curiosity that is interested in exactly what is here. So, as you strengthen the muscle of your attention, by noticing and naming, slowly you'll be able to be curious about what the storyteller in your head is talking about, or what feelings are passing through you, or what sensations you are resisting in your body. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed of whatever is there. We all live in the same kind of mind, and your mind longs for you to say hello. To remember to play with this statement, you can put it on post-it notes. You can give yourself a few minutes every morning to close your eyes and be fascinated by what is here. You can set a timer on your phone, and every time it rings, you ask yourself to notice what you're noticing. And as you bring this statement into your life, know that sometimes you'll be able to explore for a while, and other times you can only stay for a second or two. Know those seconds matter. And at times your mind will rebel about noticing what is here at all. But it's possible to bring a little light into the situation when you simply say, struggle is here. We spend our lives getting as far away as we possibly can from the uncomfortable parts of life. So it takes a while to really recognize that there's treasures hidden in whatever we are resisting. Also, you can get caught in the puzzle room over and over again and come home over and over again, a million times. That is just part of the process. And finally, because our addiction to thoughts is so strong, it's important to remember that everything you long for is already right here. And as you become smarter than the puzzle room of your mind, you recognize that whatever is happening, especially if it is uncomfortable, that is where the good stuff is. Life is smarter than you and will give you the experiences you need in order to step out of the puzzle room and back into an intimate, alive, trust-filled connection with life. Remember, the way out of the puzzle room is not to try to get out of it. It is to get to know it. As Carl Jung said, the only way out is through. Thank you for listening. Not only for your own healing, but for the healing of all the children that are coming after you. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, maryomalley.com and whatsintheway.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.